In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Back to your program, Treasures. We are studying the Gospel of St. John, chapter 9. We were into the story of the born blind man, and he started to witness to the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Pharisees did not accept his witness. They started to fake it by all means. The parents of this man believed, and they witnessed that this man is their son, and he was born blind, but they do not know what exactly happened. Therefore, his parents said, "He is of age, ask him." Chapter 9, verse 24. So they again called the man who was blind and said to him, "Give God the glory. We know that this man is a sinner." So they did not want to ask him another question because they have no new questions. It's the same question, what happened? And he told them what happened. But they wanted him to repeat after them, "This man is a sinner." So this blind man was not accepting this. Although he was very poor, he was a beggar, but still, he loved Christ so much, although he couldn't see him by his eyes, and he was very much grateful. So they made it this way: "Give God the glory. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered and said, "Whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see." So this man was such a smart man, and he told them, "I don't know whether he is a sinner or no. You can say this, because you are the Pharisees, you are the teachers of the people. But I know one thing, and it's all mine. It's my personal experience. It's very personal. So you cannot say anything about this. That's my witness. I know one thing, I was blind, now I can see." So he was very strong in his witness, and they did not like this, because again, what he's saying, he showed everyone that the miracle happened, and he is relating this to the power of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ. Then they said to him again, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He was smart again. He answered them, "I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" So by repeating the question, what happened, he was very courageous, saying, "I already told you, so there is nothing new I can say. Yes, he made a miracle. Maybe you love to be his disciples." Then they reviled him and said, "You are his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, we do not know where he is from." Again, they do not love to understand the truth, to accept the truth that Christ is God, and he is the Word of God incarnated, and he is the real one who is doing the miracles by the hand of God. So they reject the truth. So they said, "We are the disciples of Moses. Moses spoke to God, God spoke to Moses. Who is this Jesus? We don't know him. We do not know where he came from." The man answered and said to them, "Why, this is a marvelous thing, that you do not know where he is from, yet he has opened my eyes. Now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshipper of God and does his will, he hears him. Since the world began, it has been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one who was born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." So by very simple reasoning, this simple man made it very easy for anyone to accept. "You Pharisees taught us that God listen to the good people. God will listen to the prayer people. So now, if God is listening to him, how can you say now he is just a sinner? You taught us that for anyone worship God from his heart, God may listen to his prayer, but God will not listen to the sinners as you taught us. So he was, you know, very wise in this, because he made it for the whole congregation listening that this man should never be called a sinner. I'm a sinner, but this man is the man of God because he made a big miracle. And he made it also this way. No one heard, it was never heard in the history that anyone, even the prophets, could bring eyes to one who was born blind. It's like creating new eyes. So we never heard of this. They answered and said to him, "You were completely born in sin. And are you teaching us?" And they cast him out, actually, because they couldn't answer him. He is very reasonable. And they had no answer for this. Yes, he was right. No one could do this big miracle if God is not on his side, at least. So they focused on, how come you teach us? You are a big sinner, you do not know anything. So they had to cast him away because he witnessed to Christ as the Messiah. They answered and said to him, "You were completely born in sin." So they are making the old idea of that because you were born again, you were born blind, you are a sinner, and you had done many bad sins. So they made the accusation again. "You were completely born in sin, and are you teaching us?" And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said to him, "Do you believe in the Son of God?" So Christ gave him another visit, because this man couldn't see Christ in the first time because he was blind. He just heard his voice. He listened, he obeyed. He went back with an open eye, but, you know, he couldn't see him. Now Christ moved on to meet him outside the synagogue after they cast him away, in order to, like, encourage his faith or to help him to stay strong in his faith. So Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said to him, "Do you believe in the Son of God?" He answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him?" Most probably the voice of the Lord were well known by this blind man, because you all know that the blind people could identify the voice more than anyone. So when Jesus was speaking to him, I think he identified him. So when he asked, "Do you believe in the Son of God?" Because he said, like, he is a prophet, but Christ is not only a prophet, he is the Son of God. So Christ wanted him to know more, to go deeper in his faith, to understand the truth that Christ is not only a man, not only a prophet, but also God incarnated. So Jesus said to him, "You have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you." So now you are seeing him and listening to him. The first time you listened to him, now you are blessed to see him again also. So both seeing and hearing, that's the blessing of the New Testament, that God came to us in order to see him, to hear him, to touch him, and to be united to him. So by saying so, Jesus said to him, "You have both seen him, and it's he who is talking with you." Then he said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshipped him. So for this man, he believed in Christ as the Son of God, and he knelt down, he worshipped him. Maybe much before the complete belief of the disciples themselves in the nature of our Lord Jesus Christ. because of his experience. And also I want to remind you, and all the stories mentioned, there was always like a second visit. When he visited the Samaritan woman, he waited for her to come back with the Samaritan people. So he met her again. With the crippled man in chapter 5, he visited him in the temple and asked him not to sin again, lest you will have a worse thing happen. So he gave him a second visit. In this story of chapter 9, the born blind, he went to him again in order to empower his faith and in order to thank him for his witness and to give him the chance to worship Christ. So there was always like a second visit in order to help people to know him better. Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may be made blind." Again, how come Jesus saying, "For judgment I have come"? Because he said earlier that I did not come to judge, I came to save. But now he's saying, "For judgment I have come into this world." Here, judgment does not mean condemnation forever. It's like when you see me, you either accept me or refuse me. When you accept me, your eyes will be opened. But when you reject me, you are closing your eyes. You are blinding yourself. So it's all about your part, your reaction. So when Christ came to us, it's like a judgmental minute, because when we follow him, we will enjoy seeing God incarnate. If we reject the truth, we are blinding ourselves. Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see," like this born blind, and like many ignorant people who couldn't see God before. "And that those who see," these people who saying, we are seeing everything, we are wise enough to know the truth. Those who believe in themselves, like the wise people, "and that those who see may be made blind." So that's why it's not good for anyone to believe in himself as like a wise man. Better to believe that you are in need of the wisdom of God, in need for his grace, in need to enlighten your mind to see the truth. "Then some of the Pharisees who were with him heard this word and said to him, 'Are we blind also?' So they felt like he was speaking about them, because he said, 'I came to help those who are blind to see, and also for those who are seeing, they will not see anymore, they will be blind.' So they felt like he's speaking about them. So they spoke in their pride, saying, 'Are we blind also? Do you think we need you in any way? We do not need you. This man may need you, but we do not need anyone. We are God's people.'" So they are the blind people. Spiritually, they are totally blind. But this poor guy was really blind before, but now he could see the truth. Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, 'We see,' therefore your sin remains." That's a very important lesson for us. When you see, when you say that you are always right, you will never be right, because you will be guided by devil. You will be guided by your pride. You will lose the guidance of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit works only in the humble hearts. But when you come to God saying, "I'm blind, I cannot see you, I need to know you, help me to understand your will, open up my mind and my eyes." When you come asking for his grace, you will be given the grace. But when you say, "I see, I understand. I'm always right. I'm better than anyone. I'm superior than these ignorant people. You'll stay blind. That's the problem of many, many people at this day. Because they believed so much in science, they believed in money, they believed in their glory. They think that they can do whatever they like to do, but actually they are humans, and the days are running. And if they do not confess that they need the grace of God, they will stay in blindness. So the story of the born blind is very important, because as you may know, the last Sunday in the 40 days of the Lent, the last Sunday is the day of the born blind, in which we used to baptize many children and many catechumens, because we relate so much the story of opening up the eyes of the blind, the born blind, with the new eyes or the new life given to people through baptism. Because in the holy baptism, we are starting a new life. We can see the truth by our eyes. So the catechumen, like the born blind, all humans, you know, like the born blind, they born in sin, they born in corruption. So they need the miracle, they need the grace of God, they need the incarnation and the redemption done by the Lord Himself. They need the touch of Christ Himself. So the idea of the holy water, the water with the Holy Spirit, works in renewal of human nature, giving us new eyes to see God. And now we are the children of God because of this day, the day of our holy baptism. Again, this man added to the list of the people who witnessed to Christ as the Son of God. The Samaritan made her testimony, and the lame man, and this crippled one, and the adulterous woman, and the disciples. So people started to witness that this is the real God, this is the Son of God. Glory to God. Amen.